Around the NFL Podcast believes in spiritual entities from another dimension.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes. Chris Wessling to my left, Greg Rosenthal to my right. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Mark, under the weather, cannot be with us today, but hopefully we'll have him back later in the week.
I think we will. I don't think this will keep him out for more than just this show. He'll be back and strong for when we tape our big free agency preview later this week.
Big week this week. We're going to do our three regularly scheduled shows, and we are now moving to the Monday, Wednesday, Friday off-season schedule. But in addition to that, our big free agency primer preview. Wes, you had a nice name for it. It was the what?
Free agency brainstorm?
Yeah. I like it. I like when Wes throws workshops names, and that was a good one.
Well, the quiet storm isn't here, so we need a different storm.
Yeah, exactly. So that is coming up a little later in the week. It's a video show that will live on the website, and hopefully they'll get it up on YouTube, and it'll have some visibility. But in advance of that, a little later on today's show, we'll do a our own little primer. It's a primer of the primer. Double primer, bro.
It's a start. We're going to be banging through this, slicing it up a lot of ways, but kind of a first look ahead at the market using the mind of the scientist, Chris Wessling.
Did you know I've heard NPR-type places pronounce it primer?
Primer?
Yes.
I've heard that.
Come back to us, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Read a book.
The pretentious people pronounce it
primer. Yeah, read a book, NPR.
Like the Premier League? Premier League?
Premier League?
The Premier League. Greg, you were you always take the week off after the Super Bowl.
I do.
Especially good timing after the humiliation suffered by your favorite football team to begin the week. But now, and the way it works out perfectly, because now it's almost like ancient history. So congratulate, bully for you.
That's not true, although that it's ancient history.
Or that is a humiliation, but okay.
I don't know if it was a humiliation, but I am always left, and it's one of the reasons I've enjoyed taking that week off every year for the last 4 years. There's always a sort of emptiness when you get past the end of the season. It's something you've been pushing to for so long. The Super Bowl week itself is something you put so much into. You're so focused. You put a lot into the season that you just, I don't know, mentally and everything, you just feel kind of awful on that Monday. And like, I just don't want to, I feel like I need to wash football off of me. As much as I love football, I need to wash football off of me for a week, spend some time with the kids, you know, just forget about it. And now that I've been through three Super Bowl Patriot losses that I've attended, there's an extra level of that where I'm not going through all the Super Bowl content, you know, recaps and sound effects for the week. I really wanted to get away from it last week.
I definitely identify with the washing it off of you factor, because I just realized this year it's the worst week for for NFL coverage. Everything is just exploded way beyond what it should be, blown out of proportion. Everything is minutely
from the
over-examined. Everything is just blown way out of proportion. I can't stand it.
And it was a huge news week.
Crazy big news.
It was a surprisingly big news week.
Two points. Last year, when the Patriots had an amazing comeback against the Falcons, I avoided all of the like sound effects and all that great stuff. But if it's a game that you enjoyed watching, like I enjoyed watching the Eagles beating the Pats, I ingested all of those shows.
Right.
And NFL films, as always, if you although maybe the storylines coming out of the Super Bowl were a little like annoying last week, watching all that great coverage of a great Super Bowl was fun.
Oh, one of the first things I always do, and this is when the Patriots aren't, whether they're involved or not, is go watch the game broadcast of it. You know, even when it's a bad game like the Panthers-Broncos, like I want to go watch that, see how everyone experienced, watch all the shows. That's great. Not this time I wasn't really feeling it. So I tried to get as much, you know, beach time. That really makes you feel like you're away from the NFL. You're like on a beach and you see the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. And then the other part of it, Greg, is that emptiness to speak of, the hole.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with football. That's just something that's sitting in there. That's something that you need to, you know, work through. We all, on some level, have something inside that, an unfillable hole. And we try to mask it with perfume, aka professional football. But really, yeah, it's something bigger.
I think there's something to that. Although having been through, it's crazy. I was thinking like how many times I now have a routine of like the Patriots losing the Super Bowl, like what that's like the next week. Oh, and winning the Super Bowl too. It's just a weird. It's thrown a V's, but I'm not bemoaning it. But it's a unique fan experience, right? You would have to admit.
I was surprised how many tweets I saw Sunday from people bemoaning the lack of NFL football. I thought it was glorious. I couldn't wait to have like a Sunday free.
Well, we have a different experience then.
Right. And we know we're going to jump back into it. That's the thing, too, is free agency is a big deal to us here just as a website in this podcast. And like we dive into that hardcore. So you definitely need a little break.
Wes, you look good. You look well. You look like you're on track for recovery. You're wearing your Hammermaid sweater, our friend at Hammermaid that hooked us up at the Mall of America.
Well, thank you.
Ryan Kahns.
He did a great job with us. And you're looking good, which, by the way, Greg has a Yankee candle sitting in front of him. Which,
well, that is not my Yankee candle.
Nice smell, though. I like the scent.
It is from Western Massachusetts, where I'm from.
That's a Fulton touch, and I appreciate it.
But yeah, Lindsay, now that we're not taping videos, just puts a candle out.
It's a great smell.
Lindsay likes cats and candles. That and professional wrestling. This is what we've learned about Lindsay so far. Cats, candles, pro wrestling, and sometimes she puts color in her hair.
And leather jackets.
Leather jackets.
I like dogs, too. Probably
dog fan
much,
as well.
If not more than cats. But
good for you. Anyway, so Wes is looking well, but we want to maybe try to help Wes if we can, and maybe the listeners can join us.
Yeah, and Wes is probably uncomfortable sitting in the room while I talk about
it. No, he doesn't. He's leaning back in his chair with his hands, like his fingers interlocked on his head.
So I'll keep it brief. We don't need to go on too long. We've started a GoFundMe page to help Wes pay these medical costs, which have built up over the last 9 months.
My goodness.
It's something that we've intended to do for a while. Now it's the end of the season. It lines up nicely with the great news, if you haven't listened, that Wes finished up his chemo in mid-January, which was a big step. You're feeling a lot better since then, right?
Feeling so much. It's night and day difference.
It's a girthy step.
Girthy step. I still haven't put on weight. There are days when I still like feel like I take a few steps back, but for the most part, my life has changed immeasurably for the better.
And for any new listeners or jumped in and come back or whatever, Wes was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. That was back in May.
Last May, yeah.
And so even though we have great insurance here at the NFL and all of that, like there's still a lot of extra costs, and we wanted to help Wes out. And I know the podcast listeners love Wes, and we had that great meetup in Minnesota, and they even asked for ways to help out, like different things like that, and you've helped us out in the past, so this is one where we're asking for your help. And we set up a GoFundMe page. It's gofundme.com/ChrisWesslingTakesOutTheBigC.
But if that's a mouthful.
If you just – well, you got to put a name on it. If you just search Chris Wessling, you can find it in GoFundMe. We'll obviously post it on Twitter on my account. You can go look for it. It'll be pinned there. You can go look at the Reddit board. We'll definitely pin it there. And obviously, any help, small or large, we'd appreciate.
That's probably the most important vanity URL we've had in this.
That is definitely a big one.
GoFundMe.com/ChrisWesslingTakesOutTheBigC. Help out Wes if you can. I can only imagine. I mean,
and Wes would never ask for this, by the way, and that's why I'm saying he's like probably feeling mildly uncomfortable. He would never actually do this for himself, just because that's kind of the guy he is. But I know that it's been something that's been piling up.
It's no joke, the bills.
No, it's no joke. And thank you guys for putting that together. Thank the listeners for any help they're willing to give. My biggest worry is really future expenses that you don't even see popping up, because every time – the worst thing about this disease is every time you think you're getting better, you take a few steps back, and there's more tests, more scans, more problems. I mean, hey, I might want to have kids someday. Who knows what would pop up in that direction, you know?
Watch out.
Like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Ooh la la. Anyway, so help out Wes if you can, and thank you to everybody in advance, because we know our listeners are the best. So, like I said, free agency primer coming up. But before we do that, let's get caught up on the news across the National Football League.
Snap to Brady. They give to James White. Pitches it back to Danny Amendola. He throws a lob to Brady. Off his hands. Incomplete.
It's a good ball. He's got to catch that.
Come on, Tom. Come on, Tom.
Malcolm Jenkins from the Great Sound Effects Show. Pats Brady on the helmet after his drop on the throw and says, come on, Tom, twice. And Brady just stares straight ahead like, I hate myself and I want to die. Do you think Brady slept at all this past week? I mean, such a crazy competitor. That loss probably sticks with him, even though he played tremendously.
He's in Costa Rica living it up with his supermodel wife.
I think he's learned. He's probably learned how to deal with these Super Bowl losses. As much as they are painful and he probably realizes he never forgets it, he's probably like, he's even learned that. The best plan to how to attack like the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
Costa Rica with Giselle. That's how you start.
I mean, that sounds like a nice way to get over a setback in your life. Let's start with the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, on Thursday, we talked about it. The sky fell in on the Colts when Josh McDaniels was talked out of becoming their head coach by the Patriots, which led to Chris Ballard's press conference where he explained, listen, we're going to keep moving forward. There was no situation where we were going to try to talk Josh into it once he let it be known that he had second thoughts and was changing his mind. We're moving forward, and they act on that. They act quickly and hire Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who signed a contract. It is signed. Nothing can change on Sunday to become the Colts head coach. The team announced it's a 5-year deal, according to Mike Garofolo. And this happened. It came together very quickly, Greg. A team that knew they were up against it as soon as McDaniels let them know what was happening. And Frank Reich seems like a nice choice. We'll see. But given the situation there and getting Reich done, they can move forward now, which was vital for them.
Yeah, and as a lot of people point out, you go from hiring the losing offensive coordinator of the Super Bowl to the winning one, and Frank Reich's a guy who didn't get a lot of hype throughout the season because Doug Peterson was getting it, or Jim Schwartz, or even John DeFilippo, the quarterback's coach. But it's really difficult when there's a successful team like the Eagles to kind of apportion credit. I think it's even difficult for the people inside the Eagles building. And it was always a little strange to me that Reich got so little credit, has a great reputation. I'm at the point where there's almost no way to know who's going to be a good head coach or not, unless they – If they show that they sort of have a system that they've moved around with and it's worked, you at least know they have that. But that's pretty rare even to find that. And Reich, that wouldn't be the case, but he's been a coordinator for the Chargers, done a great job in a great organization for the Eagles. And I like what little I've heard of him and from him.
Yeah, it's hard to separate that collaborative effort in Philly. And it's also a lesson for us as an industry that we place way too much emphasis on the head coach hire, even though we can't possibly know how he's going to be, and not enough emphasis on who his coaching staff's going to be. Because look at the Eagles coaching staff in the Super Bowl. Filippo, DeFilippo, Frank Reich, Doug Peterson, who had a better trio of coaches on the offensive side of the ball? But it's also a return home for Frank Reich, who got his coaching start with the Colts.
And I guess that's what I meant when I setting that up, that who knows if Reich actually is going to be able to do it. And like Wes is saying, will he be able to have a staff? He's going to be a lot of his staff is going to be guys that were brought in that had nothing to do with him because of the situation with McDaniels. But, you know, to get the offensive coordinator of the Eagles as your head coach, considering the situation they were in a few days ago, it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, they did well, and it shows how quickly change happens in the NFL. This is a guy who was fired as offensive coordinator of the Chargers just 2 years ago, and I always wonder with coaches, how much do they learn at every stop along the way? Doug Peterson has proven to be one of the best head coaches in the NFL, and how could you not learn from him? He might even learn from John DeFilippo under him. So I think Frank Reich, probably a different guy. He put the game plans together for the Eagles but didn't call plays. With the Chargers, he did call plays, so he does have experience in that. But
and I really liked him, hearing him speak after the Super Bowl. He was a guy that a lot of people, I think, couldn't have been happy for through his playing career to this moment, getting a Super Bowl, and the way he talked about his players and his coaches, like he sounded like a head coach. If for whatever that's
right.
worth, like he sounded like a head coach, and I know the people in that building really love him.
Also kind of looks like Scott Bakula of Quantum Leap. And I feel like that people sleep on that. And Necessary Roughness, which was one of the great bad 90s football movies.
is
I don't know. Having seen him in person, though, did you see him during the Super Bowl week at all?
I bumped into him a couple times.
You see that with the pictures.
Yeah.
But I'd seen him in person, not really a Bakula type.
Not a Bakula type.
I don't think so.
All right, maybe as when he was leading the Bills to a start,
yeah,
come back.
I'll buy that.
He was definitely Bakula-esque.
I'm not as good at this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Is Scott Bakula, like, on the heartthrob scale, where does he fall? Like, where did he fall in his prime?
He was, like, you know, let's say...
He wasn't Tom Cruise.
He wasn't Cruise, but he was probably ahead of, like, Kirk Cameron. He's probably...
Really?
Like,
what?
No! Every girl I knew had a Kirk Cameron poster. You know,
you're dating Opinions yourself, vary. First of all, but Opinions I don't think vary. That's true at all.
I'm not dating myself. We're talking specifically about this era. So
I don't think Bakula, though.
You weren't even in existence at this time, Greg.
I feel like Bakula might be the choice for a woman living on the edge of town with a cat named Boo and heating up, like, a can of soup for one.
What?
But, like, younger girls had a big thing for Kirk Cameron.
I don't know what happened. What was that?
Like, it seems like lonely women would have a thing for Scott Bakula.
Interesting. Well, let's clip that sound bite off when we have Scott on the show or Frank. Anyway, we also mentioned John DeFilippo. He has a new job. The Eagles just getting pilfered right now. That's how it happens. But DeFilippo, who was the quarterback's coach, and a lot of people like DeFilippo, Mark Sessler, who's under the weather, a little update for the listener, still ill. He wrote about DeFilippo and is a big fan, but he is now moving on to Minnesota to become the Vikings offensive coordinator. He replaces Pat Shurmur, of course, who took over as the head coach of the Giants. Wes, why are people so hot about Johnny D?
Well, he's done a good job in several places he's been. He helped develop Derek Carr in Oakland. He helped develop Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. And guys like Brian Baldinger, who is around that program in Philadelphia, have called him the guy most like Sean McVay as far as a young quarterback guru, offensive guru. And I've seen him break down some films, some videos of him. He does have charisma. I think he's got head coaching potential, and if you're the Vikings and you lost Pat Shurmur, I don't think you can do any better than getting John DeFilippo.
And you think, Wes, I think you mentioned earlier, you think they would be in the mix for Cousins because of DeFilippo in any way, or how do you think it might impact who they go after at quarterback?
Well, I've been of the opinion that the Vikings probably won't be as aggressive as the Jets and Broncos in free agency. Because I don't think it's as dire of a need, especially when you can probably bring back one of those three quarterbacks that you have, and you have.
I don't have any quarterbacks though, so that's pretty dire.
Yeah, but
at least at the moment,
you've got the possibility that you use the transition tag on Case Keenum. You might get Teddy Bridgewater's contract might toll over to another year because of his sitting out the first 6 weeks of the season on PUP list. So there's some options there. But there is one report that came out Super Bowl week from a local radio station. Actually, their play-by-play guy, Paul Allen, said that Kirk Cousins has the Vikings as number one on his wish list.
Interesting. Mm. And DeFilippo told the Star Tribune that he's going to leave no stone unturned in this QB search, said that he has like an equal say or – did he say equal say?
As much say as they'll allow him.
As much say, that's different.
Okay.
As much say as they'll allow him in terms of
deciding
who they bring in. Yeah, it makes sense that he should have a big voice in the room.
I think since Rick Spielman took over 6 years ago, they've had five different quarterbacks lead the team in passing.
Mm-hmm. Reuben Foster in trouble again. The 49ers linebacker arrested on suspicion of domestic violence, threats, and assault weapon possession charges Sunday morning in California. Police confirmed to NFL.com. Incident remains under investigation. 49ers aware of it, obviously. It is the second arrest for Foster in the last month. He is the 31st overall pick in last year's draft. He got booked on a marijuana charge in January. This is a really big-time talent, Greg, but at a time with a lot of great news around the 49ers, Foster is becoming somebody they have to be very worried about.
Right? Yeah, our guy, Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network insider, you weren't aware, believes it's going to be a long process. No quick resolution is expected, which is interesting in light of another incident with the 49ers in domestic violence, which I believe was Tremaine Brock during last season or during training camp last year, I think, where they cut him quickly. But as we've said on this show, you know, teams take moral stances a lot of times with borderline players, and they're more willing to let the process play out when it's a star player. I don't think anyone expects Reuben Foster to get released anytime soon. But the NFL has a very hard and fast six-game suspension for domestic violence. And now that this is two arrests in a row and the details of it, I mean, it could make it longer than that. It's weapons charges as well.
Well, the 49ers came out and said they would have considered Reuben Foster with the number 3 overall pick in the draft if the planets aligned in that direction last year. And they got a ton of credit for getting him where they did. But a lot of guys around the NFL say, yeah, talent-wise, we had him as a first-round pick. Mm. We just knew he was too big of a risk character-wise to take him there.
And for some perspective, I think people, if you went around the league and said, what defensive player was the most impressive from this rookie class, other than Marshon Lattimore, it would have been Reuben Foster. I mean, he might have been the most – he might have looked about as good as any player in the entire rookie class, I would say, per game, along with Lattimore and, you know, obviously some of the offensive players. But that's how good he looked as a rookie. And so that would be a huge loss if he's gone for a long, long time.
Yeah, when he was healthy, he and DeForest Buckner were their two best defensive players.
Reuben Foster, a young guy trying to stay on the right path in the NFL. Johnny Manziel was a guy that could not do it, and he washed out of the league quickly. We haven't talked about Johnny Football in a while, but let's just check in with him because he did an interview with Good Morning America. I wonder if there's any heat between Good Morning Football and Good Morning America. Little ABC versus NFL. Let's lawyer up and get to work.
Well, Good Morning America, I believe, predates Good Morning Football.
Does it?
So, well, I'm just saying no. So the
heat, I don't think that's true, actually.
So the heat would be directed towards the NFL, which would be ridiculous because, frankly, Good Morning America, you're not the top Good Morning anymore.
Oh, damn.
We've come for your Good Morning corner.
Oh,
you
damn.
Might have your little Michael Strahan and whatever else
little.
Going on over there. We've got chemistry. We've got a show that's all football.
You give me Schrager. Give me a Schrag bomb any day over a Robin Roberts type. That's all I'm going to say.
They don't have a Kyle Brandt on Good Morning America. Give
There's only
break.
One. Little Kay Adams flying high.
Did not expect any shots towards Robin Roberts on this show. But
I didn't say it was a shot. Not necessarily a shot, but all right. Anyway. Yeah, Manziel was on Good Morning America, which they could
Wes
be like.
Wes is like, I love Good Morning America. How dare you guys?
I think it is the number one morning show.
It's been on forever, and in my lifetime, I've never seen one episode of Good Morning America.
Shots fired.
My mom was a Today Show person.
Yeah, mine
yep,
too.
As was mine. I kind of rep the Peacock in general.
Yeah.
My wife works for the company, too, full disclosure. Anyway, that's network talk. We'll save that for the major network podcast coming up a little later in the offseason. Big get, though, for Good Morning America. They got Johnny Manziel to talk about his troubles. And here's what Johnny had to say, revealing that he was diagnosed as bipolar. And before that diagnosis came, he messed up.
Going back throughout the last couple years of my life, I was self-medicating with alcohol. Like, that's what I thought was making me happy and helped me get out of that depression to a point of where I felt like I had some sense of happiness. But at the end of the day, you're left staring at the ceiling by yourself and you're back in that depression and back in that hole, that dark hole of sitting in a room by yourself, being super depressed, thinking about all the mistakes you've made in your life. What did that get me? Where did that get me except out of the NFL? Where did that get me disgraced?
You hope, Wes, that the light did go on for Manziel. He's become a punchline, and he earned his punchline status. But this guy was a fascinating college prospect, a guy that I still remember walking home from Radio City Music Hall with Mark Sessler back to the hotel in New York, and both of us are kind of, him obviously on fire as the Browns, but even me as just a friend of Mark's and a guy that, oh, the Browns finally going to become exciting again. And then to see all that get wiped away so quickly, you hope that he's going to figure it out. His football career probably over at this level, but if he can get his life back on track, that would be.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get his life back on track. I think most of us in America believe in second chances. It feels like Johnny Manziel has had more than two chances by now. It doesn't surprise me that he's had a wake-up call, an epiphany. It's almost like this is in the script. About this time in his career, you expect him to say, oh, yeah,
right.
I've learned some lessons. I hope to get another shot.
The book's coming next.
Yeah, the book's coming next, and I don't know if his game's ever going to translate to the NFL level. I just don't know if he ever had it.
He's so slight in frame.
He is.
Take everything else out
Remember
of
when
it.
Marvin Lewis called him a midget?
Did he? Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was. Oh yeah,
well,
he had apologized for.
Well, Marvin Lewis is an idiot.
Yeah. Well, there you go. What were you going to say, Greg?
Well, just maybe he'll get a chance in the CFL or the XFL. I don't know.
XFL is never going to actually happen, by the way. But
that, yeah, that's in a couple of years. Yeah. It's tricky because you can see he's trying to, you know, do a public rehabilitation too, along with what he's doing privately, and I think it's challenging. I mean, my brother's bipolar.
I
have a lot of family and friends who have dealt with mental illness, and adding whatever else is going on in Johnny Manziel's life, including substance abuse, which is a significant part of all this. Trying to handle all that in addition to, like, you're making this public announcement and kind of campaign almost to kind of get back. It's tricky. I mean, it's tough to accomplish all of that and being under the spotlight. And I think being a world famous quarterback does not make any of that path easier. And it's not a straight path. I don't think I'm breaking any news here, but it's not like you're like, okay, well now I know that everything's cool. Now I'm good to go. It's a daily, yearly, it's something you're dealing with, you know, for your life. And I don't know. It's tough. It's a weird combination of like trying to get his career. I don't know if his career as a quarterback kind of goes with all that.
I think that path has more twists and turns for a guy who comes from wealth, has been spoiled for most of his career, has had opportunities that other people wouldn't get, and has had excuses made for him that other people wouldn't have. I think all of that contributes to where he is right now.
Finally in the news, Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, yeah, it's Celeb Pro-Am time for NFL players. If you're not aware what that is, golfing, and you get paired up with a professional, and it's basically a two-man team. Am I right? I think this is all right.
That's right. It's up Pebble Street, right up the Pebble Beach. Right,
anyway,
right
Pebble
up the
Street. We're really showing our golf bona fides here. Hey, yeah, you just take a left on old Pebble Street.
Did you ever play on Pebble Street? Oh, she's a beaut.
I've been to that course.
Wait, do they... I don't even know. I feel like at the end of the tournament, though, it's just like the real players are in the final groups. Or do they have it where, like, Bill Murray's walking with the guy who's trying to win the tournament at the end of the day on Sunday? I feel like that's...
Right. Before we dig into that a little bit, let me just say that Larry Fitzgerald, along with PGA pro Kevin Streelman, big Streelman fan over here, won the AT&T Pebble Street Pro-Am over the weekend with a score of 41 under par. That included a 12 under 60 in Sunday's final round. That's how you close out. It's like when Tiger used to put on the red shirt and you say, I'm just going to destroy everybody on Sunday.
Victory red.
Yeah, victory.
Wait, 41 under par.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, it was like a mini golf course. I thought Pebble Beach was like tough. We don't know anything.
They must raise the par for this.
No, I think
this is a par 47.
The little I know is that they make professional golf courses like if a pro a PGA guy is just going out on your normal courses. Yeah, they're going to put up some insane numbers. They make it so difficult for the pros that when they have a event like this where maybe they kind of got to even it out because you got all these amateurs actually playing with them that the pros just crush them. Crush it.
Yeah. And, well, there you go. That makes sense, Greg. Good job. And I consider myself a pretty big sports fan, not just football. One of my weaknesses has always been in, like, casual, especially if, like, guys talk in sports, I'm always completely okay. I could talk in, like, a party or a bar or whatever.
Your guy.
But I'm a total bro. But if somebody starts talking golf and somebody starts throwing around the word handicap, I start to sweat because I still don't know what it means. It's like, what's your handicap? Don't fucking ask me that because I don't know what that means. Does anybody know what handicap means?
Of course I know. I worked at two golf courses.
What does it mean?
In high school.
I actually don't care. Don't tell
me. Yeah, I leave the room and go find an interesting conversation when it comes up.
None of you guys watch golf?
No, I do. No. I will no. watch the
Why
big
would
events.
I, watch golf?
I loved playing golf as a kid, as like, you know, when I worked at the courses and then in college and stuff. But it's kind of gone by the wayside with, you know, time. And I've lived in cities where it's not easy.
Especially.
But I never liked watching it. I thought it was a terrible spectator sport. And I watched everything as a kid. And I, even though I love playing it, I never like watching it.
I think you're crazy. I think there's honestly one of the most exciting events in sports is Sunday at the Masters.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would watch just to see the beauty of the course. especially that time of year in Georgia. Yeah.
You could just go to Google Maps for that, though. I mean,
no, I'd rather read a book I've been putting off for 16 years than watch golf.
Okay, well, Wes, strong opinion on golf. The Masters is – which one's Father's Day? Is that the U.S. Open?
Yeah, that's the
That's another great one. I like watching that on Sunday.
All the majors
It's funny
are
how
great.
Little we know.
All the majors are Shocking. Great.
But anyway, good golf talk. My question I wanted to ask – so congratulations to Larry Fitz for winning that. What leisure activity would you gentlemen go all in on if you had the time or resources? Wes, I'm guessing it's not golf for you. What would it be?
No, I am terrible at golf. I think I've probably made the most money in two-on-two basketball, but at this stage of my life.
Wait, what? This is your leisure activity? Well, you don't necessarily need to make money in this leisure activity. But no, I like that. You've made a lot of money in two-on-two basketball?
What are you, Billy Hoyle in White Men Can't Jump?
In my early 20s, there was a friend of mine and I, we used to say we don't lace them up for less than 20.
Wow.
Save that. I would watch that or listen to that podcast.
Save that.
Wes is like the hoops hustling podcast.
Save that for the low level gambling podcast.
You joke about Billy Hoyle, but we went by the King and the Duck.
Who was the King and who was the Duck?
I was the Duck.
Why was that your playing style? Was duck-esque?
No.
I think if you take a look at Wes, you're not like, hey, there's a basketball star. No offense.
Granted, we're playing in Mama Boy suburbia.
Yeah.
So we won about 75, 80 straight games of 2-on-2.
So that's your answer? You're going to break
No, I think back? Cornhole's the answer at this stage in my life. I think that would be the leisure time activity I could most, best chance of mastering.
Yeah, I thought about corn because I enjoy playing it. It's outdoors. You can drink. One thing I've always been good at, and I could get really good at it if I just practiced, was shooting a little stick, playing a little pool.
Oh, yeah. I've seen your Scatman Crothers act.
Yeah, I took down Scatman Crothers once at he was a pool shark at a bar, Lost and Found. Here in West LA, and he was so angry.
Wait, that's a made up Kansas name, I just realized.
He's from a movie or something.
Well, Scatman Crothers is a famous actor. Okay. Rest in peace. But he was in The Shining. But this man looked like Scatman Crothers. Might have been the ghost of Scatman Crothers. But he was like one of those pool sharks that goes to the same table, brings his own stick, wears the glove, and then this Jamoke rolls over, the old Zeuser, and grabbed the stick off the wall, and I took him down. And he was so angry that he left the bar. They sent the ghost out. Scatman.
Mark and I were witnesses for this event.
I can play pool. I just have not. I play it so little now that I don't have the skills. You have to practice. But if I could do that, if I had all this time in the world,
wait.
I
so
would
what
shoot
was the scenario?
Stuff.
You've made a lot of money and you can just do whatever you want. Are we still working at the NFL?
You can take the money out of it.
You now work 20 hours a week, basically.
Okay, so there's still like no. There's no, like, tennis.
You're not trying to make, like, a career out of it or anything.
No.
Just, you know, something you like to do that you could get really good at.
I was going to say some gambling, but that wouldn't be allowed.
No,
that wouldn't be allowed.
You work for the NFL.
That wouldn't be allowed. Plus, that would be just a leisure activity. I mean, I would just ramp up what my favorite one now, which is reading, because I feel like I don't have time. Is that allowed?
Going to be a competitive reader?
Well, this has to be a competition. Right. It's time that you're going to use. There's not enough time in the world to read all the things you want.
Okay. So you read
time.
More. Okay.
Thanks for ruining the segment, Greg.
No, I mean, it's an honest answer.
That is my honest
I was going to say, like, you could maybe, like, be...
Wait, I didn't know this is supposed to be, like, a hustle.
I thought it was supposed
to be
I'm
not doing it as a hustle.
Oh, a skill.
Are you using reading as a skill?
Oh, no. I thought he said leisure time activities. If he's just talking skill, then I think
Who's
I'm...
Who's he?
If Dan is just talking about, all right, you got to work on a skill.
Something that you have a base of.
I get back into playing tennis.
I was going to say, you could be, like, a... hunky tennis instructor for like
no, I wouldn't want to be an instructor,
club.
But I yeah, just want to start playing a little more competitively.
Back
yeah,
to Martha's
get back good at it.
All started.
Yeah, we get some like those tight tennis shorts where they're white.
Tamposi texted
low.
Me; she wants to start playing, so I'm gonna have a
wow
play some tennis with Tamposi Gonzo. We might have to start a
like
league.
It,
but yeah, I need some practice. That second serve is really struggling these days.
Tamposi reached out to me over the weekend about being on the softball team. I said, listen. As of now, I filed retirement papers. I am not necessarily the coach here. The roster in general, I don't know if there's going to be a softball team this year. But if there is, you're absolutely welcome.
You've got a major Brett Favre vibe this offseason.
Favre eventually retired. All right, that's it for the news. Now.
I feel like I was Connie Fox there, not understanding the.
I love when Connie gets confused. Here we go. Let's talk a little free agency primer. So, like I said, later this week, good stuff. We're going to have a whole video show all about free agency, breaking it down in different tiers, and we're going to really dig in deep on the class. But for today, this is kind of just like dipping our toe in the water. What's going on with the 2018 free agency scene? I'm lucky to have the two scientists on my left and right every year, as you know, as the entire country is aware. They put together their top. See, they never quite, between me and the audience, they've never quite properly branded this because they.
It's 101.
All right. Is it 101? Because sometimes 101? It's 99, sometimes it's 100.
It was once 99, yeah. There was some sort of programming issue. We're sticking with 101.
So it's 101.
I thought you tried to stick with 101 last year, and they made you do 100.
No, I don't even
101's a great number.
I guess to Dan's point, I don't even remember.
So if we really want to brand this properly, it's time to settle on a number. Let's hope it's 101. You guys put together your heads and come up with the list. We're not quite there yet. You guys still have your scientist work to do on that front. But for now, let's have a conversation. First of all, we'll start here, Wes. Where does this free agency class rank with last year's class?
It feels like it's lesser, and a lot of that is hard to say before we know the franchise tag guys, but I think you can assume that Le'Veon Bell will be off the market. Drew Brees will re-sign with the Saints, so there's two of your top three free agents along with Kirk Cousins right off the bat. DeMarcus Lawrence will get the franchise tag.
No doubt, I think.
So you're left with like average to below average starters is what you're looking at for free.
How did? Oh, well, I think there's some above-average starters.
Right. Who are some above-average starters that everyone should be aware of?
Sheldon Richardson, Allen Robinson.
Ziggy Ansa.
Ziggy Ansa, Jarvis Landry, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus. I mean, I think there's a solid 10 to 15, 25 above-average starters.
Sheldon Richardson was a disappointment.
He was, but
and was basically given away by the Jets.
I think he's an above-average starter. Malcolm Butler is an interesting guy.
But you famously don't care about character risks at all.
Famously,
you've said you can't predict them. You have no idea. So.
That's true. We actually.
Well, in fairness, my team, undefeated.
I was going to say.
No, my free agent picks. Never lost.
Didn't we? That might not be true, but we have toyed with, I thought, before in the show, doing like Greg's all bad guy team. We like good talents, bad people.
Nate Solder, Justin Pugh. I mean, there's guys out there that I would say are average to above average stars.
How about a little Dion Lewis, the guy that we've been pumping up as a superstar in the last month?
Star Lotulelei. I think there's a decent crop. Because of Cousins, it's as good a class, I would say, as last year overall. Because just Cousins alone makes it unique. We haven't seen a guy, an average starting or above average starting quarterback, get to free agency.
Since Peyton Manning?
I think even that was.
I think what makes him, it's fascinating to have an actual guy on the right side of the Dalton scale hit free agency like Cousins, and then to see what happens once Cousins does sign, hopefully with my Jets, but who knows? He could go in any number of places. How that affects the market, where if you're a team that wanted Cousins bad and you miss out, how much are you going to be willing to pay Case Keenum? Or like, what is his market? I think Cousins really makes things kind of electrified on that front.
Can we address Dion Lewis real quick? You brought him up.
Yeah.
Teams do this all the time. They overpay for guys who are role players with the Patriots, and you can't expect your team to use a guy to the maximum like the Patriots did. This is an undersized running back who has a majorly checkered injury history and no example of him being durable. I don't think you can count on Dion Lewis getting $5 million a year.
Hmm. I'm surprised to hear that because you guys have been so high on him.
Right, because he plays a niche role for the Patriots.
So he's a system guy?
He wasn't a niche role this year, but it was 1 year.
Of course it was a niche role. He didn't even start until November. He didn't.
He ended up
getting. He had like a five-game streak, and then in the two biggest games of the year at the end of the year.
That's fair.
They played James White over him.
I think Lewis, similar to when Danny Woodhead became a free agent, could be a really good pickup for some team at the right price because running backs just don't cost that much in general. If a team with a coaching staff is like, let's say, the Vikings, who are losing Jerick McKinnon, or the Saints if they had a need, but they don't need a need. If you pair Dion Lewis in the right system with the right coaching staff and it only costs you $5 million a year, I think that's money really well spent.
Why not just draft somebody in the third round?
because you have this guy that you know is good and you can use the draft
pick on
someone else.
You also know he's going to get injured by week four. I mean, Deion Lewis is injured almost every year of his career.
Didn't expect such scientist heat today, but wow.
Deion Lewis.
Especially about Deion Lewis.
I'm stunned.
I've been a huge fan of his, but he's exactly the guy you don't overpay.
Well, yeah, it all depends
on
price.
He's a role player who gets injured.
But you don't have to overpay.
Yeah, to
$5 million is way too much for a running back, and you just get Alvin Kamara in the third round.
I don't think so, because to me, that's a great price if you're getting 600 great snaps out of Deion Lewis. And I think if you've got the right plan and the right system around him, that's absolutely worth it. It's a deep group of running
backs. He breaks his leg in late September. I mean, this guy's injury history, you're just glossing over it like it didn't happen.
No, that's fair. And there are a lot of running backs. I don't think it'll cost much because there are a lot of running backs out there. Carlos Hyde is going to be a free agent. Le'Veon Bell probably will get tagged. Jerick McKinnon, very similar to Deion Lewis, I would say, and I think a really interesting free agent. Rex Burkhead is a free agent. Darren Sproles, if he still wants to play.
Jeremy
My guy Frank Gore.
Jamal Charles.
It's always a position where it's not necessarily too tough to find someone.
There's some interest in the wide receiver group. There's some guys that are going to be really interesting to see how much money they make. Allen Robinson coming off an ACL. Sammy Watkins, years of people trying to talk themselves into him as a star. Will another team do it again? He's still only, 27 or 28 years old?
24 right
what?
Now.
Yep.
24.
He's 24 years old.
He's been in the league for like 15 years, I thought.
He was 20 when he got in. And, I think he must be turning 25 during next season or something.
There has been plenty of speculation that the Rams could franchise him.
That's amazing. Jordan Matthews,
who got traded,
obviously, from the Eagles to the Bills and had a complete lost season, injuries. Now he's a free agent. Terrell Pryor, a guy that a lot of people thought was a great buy by the Redskins last year. He washed out, so what does he get this year? That's an interesting group. And Danny Amendola. Danny playoff.
Oh, my gosh.
Amendola is scheduled to hit the free agency market.
John Brown, Paul Richardson, the guys who have flashed in the past are pretty intriguing.
I think looking at the overarching market, there are a few more quarterbacks than usual. You throw Teddy, Sam Bradford, Cousins. And with Breeze, I just am going to throw it out there that I feel like there's a 10% chance there's some drama there. Just like there was a small chance maybe this McDaniels thing isn't as sure as everyone has been saying it is until it's official. I just think there might be just some drama with Breeze. I don't think he'll go anywhere. But if you're looking at
Define drama.
Some reports that he's not happy with the Saints and that there's actually a chance, even if it's a passing storm, that he'll leave or that he's not pleased. This is a guy who people forget held out during their last contract negotiations, skipped OTAs, skipped the offseason the last time he was looking for a new contract. And I think it's a really difficult contract to come up with.
Brent Grimes is hitting the open market. Greg, a little nervous about his wife could relocate maybe to Southern California or something like that, and then you're in great danger?
He's kind of ageless. I mean, he's had some injuries, but he's looked pretty great. Love Brent Grimes. You bring me to a point I was going to make before, by the way.
Yes.
Some positions are very, very thin. Both lines, I would say, are thin, especially the offensive line. But there are a lot of cornerbacks and receivers. So, like, the passing game, I think if you're looking for a cornerback or you're looking for a wide receiver, some names out there.
Interesting, a couple of interesting tight end names. Jimmy Graham, I believe he's in pretty big-time decline at this point. I know he's a good goal line receiver still, but I'm wondering how much money he could get on the open market. I think he's connected to a team in a report this week.
Not much is my guess, but who knows.
And then Tyler Eifert, like a Deion Lewis, a guy that cannot stay healthy, but a couple of years ago he was one of the best tight ends in football. Would a team maybe say, maybe we get that guy and he stays healthy? Two interesting names.
Question marks.
I like this free agency class.
Yeah, it's a little saucier than I expected.
Yeah, the cornerback class could be really strong. The guy I really like is Kyle Fuller, who had a great year with the Bears, led the NFL in passes defense last year.
Malcolm Butler is going to be a really interesting cornerback, I think free agent, to
Tremaine
wonder what
Johnson.
Kind of value he has after everything that happened.
I got to see if the Patriots do anything else to poison his value from now until the start of free agency. Nice organization.
Vontae David. Oh, please. It is crazy. It is crazy that I can remember I was so sad to miss the week after the Super Bowl podcast where Malcolm Butler was in the studio with you guys.
Yeah.
And think about the journey he's taken since that moment as one of the great in my mind, stories in NFL history, certainly great Super Bowl stories in NFL history, to this Super Bowl. I mean, you can't write this stuff.
And how do they repay him, Greg?
It's the drama. It's the stuff of life.
Can we just take a big macro view there, that he made the arguably the biggest play in Patriots history, and now they are kicking him out the door and making him look like some type of malcontent? That ain't right.
I don't know.
He was on the Around the NFL podcast. He's a nice guy.
I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened there. I do think it got a little overplayed, and I don't want to dive too into this, but that, like, okay, put Malcolm Butler in there, and suddenly they'd be fine. He had a
couldn't disagree more. That was huge.
It was a big factor, but there's no way to
know. Guys that played for him were picked on.
I guess my thought would be more that his absence has helped to overshadow the complete collapse of the rest of the defense, which I don't think his absence excuses that. It's like Dont'a Hightower, who is a much, in my mind, more integral player to the team, leaves the team during the season. It's like you don't even notice the difference for the rest of the season. Butler, who did not have a great year, had an okay year, certainly his worst year as
led
a starter.
Led their defense in snaps.
Yeah, certainly his worst year as a starter, but still a very solid starter. I'm just saying, it kind of overshadowed, like, hey, your defense got absolutely destroyed because this storyline got all the attention.
It's like, a nice way of saying that they got thoroughly outcoached in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I heard you having this conversation downstairs. I stayed out of it, but I think if one guy in that secondary makes a play, they could have won the Super Bowl.
Sure. It might have made it.
And he's already proven he's a guy that can make a play.
Yes.
When the stakes are highest. And you took him out of the line.
Absolutely. I just mean it's kind of one thing to focus on when there were a lot of things that they did wrong and that went wrong.
Maybe if they came up with a answer.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Or answered the question of why Malcolm Butler didn't play that people could stomach. I mean, I haven't heard an answer yet that I can stomach.
It's also fun.
Why not just tell the truth?
It's also funny to me, like, I know this is not how things work, but, you know, crazier things have happened in football. Look at Josh McDaniel's situation. You know, the Lions, they're sitting there watching the game, and they're like, wait, so we're bringing in Matt Patricia, who's a defensive wizard, and he's giving up like 500 yards of total offense in the Super Bowl.
Let's calm down on that one.
What about,
I mean, first of all, why would you take one game over like 19 games?
Okay,
just because it's the most recent and the most important. We have more data than that. Second of all, who has less talent on their front seven in the NFL than the New England Patriots in February of 2018? How many names can you even name on their front seven?
There are defensive metrics that...
Do you want me to go through it? I'm a fan.
I mean, Trey Flowers is good, other than
Trey
that.
Trey Flowers is really good.
You're dealing with a bunch of special teamers.
Malcolm Brown's,
and then because
pretty
you benched, because you benched your best cornerback, you've got problems. Their whole defense was filled with problems in that game.
And advanced metrics said that the Patriots never had a good defense this season. I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that the Lions should have had second thoughts. I'm just saying, if you are in the front office, you think it's like, okay, He'll be fine.
And this is the second straight year the Patriots have a lot of key free agents. I would say an abnormal amount. And I think it hurt them last year. I don't think they were as talented a team in the end. And now they have Solder, who's going to be, I think, is the top tackle in free agency by a decent amount, which it really doesn't speak well for the tackle class. I mean, he could be an $18 million a year type player, $15 million.
Because in the top five, LeAdrian Waddle and Cameron Fleming are also there. Three Patriots probably are in the top five tackles.
Right, so three of their tackles are available. You're loving this, Dan. Butler's out there. Burkhead and Lewis are out there. So you're kind of, you know, bunching up different positions. Amendola, they got a lot of players available.
I like it.
To deal with.
It's time of transition. I think we were at the funeral on Sunday. That's all I'm saying.
Funeral, please.
Hey, Geno Smith also is on the market, Greg. You've been pounding the table for many years because he had that great four-game stretch about 6 years ago.
He hasn't really played since then, except for a pretty good performance against the Raiders.
There you go. He's still in.
Pretty good.
Could have him on the cheap.
Go watch
2 years, $6 million.
Watch a couple of throws in that fourth quarter.
I'd rather watch him like celebrating on the sideline as the other quarterback doesn't play well.
He's pretty low on that free agent quarterback list. But Keenum, Bridgewater, Bradford, you got McCown. Is Cutler for sure retiring? We haven't found out about that. I don't know if it really
matters. The NFL will tell him whether he's retiring or not.
Probably.
So there you go. There's a nice teaser. Nice tease, guys. You guys are real teases.
We even made an appearance in the lab.
Yeah, a couple trips down to the lab. I hung out in the kitchen. Even though I am against Greg's wishes, I was given a key. I can go down to the lab, but I just want to make it clear that I have yet to go down to the lab. I just have access.
Yeah,
there.
Dan's going to go home tonight, study the Trent Murphy tape from the 2017 season, come back with a really hot take about his ranking among the edge defenders that are available.
I don't think there is any Trent Murphy tape for 2017.
And that's why I'm not going to go downstairs. That's a good point. I hang out in the kitchen.
Bad guy to bring up.
Des Bryant got you a key.
Thank you, Des. I really appreciate it. He might end up on the free agent market.
Yeah, that might be something we'll talk about later.
Ooh, like that
some
could
guys
be
that'll get
a
cut.
Tier for our special. Well, we don't have to workshop it here, but that's a fun category too. All right. But that's coming up later this week. Next time you hear from us will be Wednesday. So hopefully Mark will be back and Colleen will be rejoining us. She made it back from Philadelphia alive. So a lot of fun stuff coming up this week.
Check out the GoFundMe.
GoFundMe.com.
I mean, I picked this handsome picture of Wes at the Super Bowl.
Nice shot.
That's going to make people.
Hot bod shot. Nice suit. Nice chrome dome. GoFundMe.com/Chris Wesseling takes out the big C. A little bit wordy. Could have just went with Wes.
I didn't. It doesn't matter what the.
Could have just went with Wes, though.
I didn't know it would have been the whole thing.
But still, the cause is very important. So please, if you can help out, please do. And again, end of the week, our top 10 calls of 2017. Let's go. Stan Hansa signing off for the mailman, the old boss, Lindsay Bolton behind the glass. Greg is going to do extra reading if given the chance. Big takeaway from the show. Till Wednesday. Reading.